that you've come here, and I hope that you are comfortable in your independent base. Again, welcome to New Earth.
Jordan said, I'll spend the night here with my companions, Audrey.
Understandable, the alien replied. I'll tell Aditi.
Jordan felt his cheeks redden. Yes, thank you. Please tell her I'll see her tomorrow.
I will, said Audrey.
Then he turned and began walking toward the trees and the path back to the city. Jordan saw him pull his pet from his robe and fondle it as he walked.
Strange fella, Thornberry murmured.
What do you expect? Said Meek. He's an alien.
Longyear watched Audrey's retreating back for long moments, then finally said, He doesn't seem worried about our coming here to his world.
Should he be? Jordan asked.
With his dark eyes fixed on Audrey's departing figure, Longyear said,
I don't know. If an alien starship took up orbit around Earth, and a team of aliens came down and started to build a camp, wouldn't we be worried about them? Suspicious of their motives?
For heaven's sake, they know our motives, Meek snapped. They've been listening to our radio and television broadcasts for years.
Centuries, Jordan corrected.
I don't know, Longyear said slowly. He just seems so cool about it all.
Gives me the creeps.
That's your Native American heritage talking, said Thornberry. Audrey's people have never been invaded and conquered by strangers.
How do you know? Longyear wondered.
Jordan said, I don't think it's got anything to do with history or heritages.
You don't? Meek challenged. Then what?
I think that Audrey's people have a technology that's superior to ours, much superior. They have no reason to be afraid of us because they know that we can't hurt them.
Thornberry rubbed his jaw.
Maybe we should be afraid of them.
What's in a name? The interiors of the plastic bubble tents were divided by 2-meter-high partitions into cubicles that served as quarters for individuals and wider areas for workshops and laboratories. The largest open area was for dining, and all 9 of the landing team assembled there at the end of the day. Jordan looked down the table at the 8 of them. Hazard had returned to Gaia. He, Trish Wanamaker, and Demetrius Zadar, the team's astronomer, planned to remain aboard the ship. The dining area felt strangely cold to Jordan. It smelled new, unused. The dome of the bubble tent curved high above, lost in shadows. The tall partitions were bare, undecorated. Well, that will change over time, he told himself. This is our first night. After we've been here a while, this place will start to feel more lived in, more like home. 2 robots stood passively against the far partition of the dining area, awaiting the order to begin serving the meal. The 9 people around the table were quiet, talking to each other in hushed whispers. They looked pensive, Jordan thought, uncertain, almost frightened. He got to his feet and raised his glass of carbonated water.
Here's to our first night on New Earth, the first of many. We have a grand adventure ahead of us.
All the others raised their glasses, but without any real fervor.
You may begin serving, Jordan said to the robots as he sat down.
Both machines turned and went through the open doorway to the kitchen. Brandon, on Jordan's right, asked,
Is that how you think of our mission? A grand adventure?
Why, don't you? We're on a new world. We've encountered intelligent human-like people and their civilization. Just think of what's ahead for us.
That's what I wonder about, said Meek, sitting a few chairs farther down the table.
This Audrey is a pretty slick fellow, Thornberry said. He answers our questions, but the answers don't seem to tell us anything.
Do you trust him?
Asked Elise, who was sitting beside Brandon.
If we trusted him, Brandon said, we'd be having dinner in his city instead of here.
Jordan said, Bran, you and I have stayed at the city. We've partaken of Audrey's hospitality. No harmful effects, nothing sinister.
It's just too confoundingly pat, Meek grumbled. Too good to be true.
Longyear and several others nodded.
Harmon, said Jordan gently, perhaps you're looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Beware of Greeks bearing gifts, Longyear muttered. The robots glided into the room and began to place bowls of steaming soup before each person. Jordan looked down the table at their suspicious faces.
Very well, you don't trust Audrey and his people.
What do we do about it?
Brandon replied instantly.
We try to find out as much as we can about them. who they really are, where they come from.
Audrey says they were born here. They are natives of this planet, said Jordan.
How can they be exactly like us? Meek argued. It's beyond the realm of belief.
Longyear countered, they evolved on a planet just like Earth. Maybe it's convergent evolution, or parallel evolution, if you want to call it that. I mean, this is the first really Earth-like planet we've found. Maybe wherever the conditions are the same, the results are the same, too. Inevitable.
I can't believe that, said Meek. It goes against everything we know about biology and statistics.
Maybe it doesn't, Longyear replied. I mean, we have two examples of Earth-like environments, and both of them have produced the human species. Defia spoke up.
That's another thing. How could this planet have survived the Pops explosions? How could it possibly bear any life at all?
Zadar told me that Sirius can't be more than 500 million years old, Meek chimed in.
That's not enough time for a planet to evolve such a complex biosphere, especially if the pup went through a nova phase and showered this planet with lethal radiation.
Elise said, and this planet has no moon. What does that have to do with it? Jordan asked.
Earth's moon acts as an anchor, she explained. It keeps our axis of rotation from tipping over too far. Without a big moon serving as an anchor, this planet should wobble wildly. Its climate should swing back and forth every few tens of thousands of years.
Which would destabilize its ecosystems, Longyear said. Ice ages and global warmings, one right after another.
You see, Meek said almost triumphantly, none of this adds up.
Jordan raised both hands. All right, all right. We have a lot of questions to be answered. But for the moment, let's dig into this soup before it cools off. Meek dipped his spoon into the soup, then looked up and said,
we should set up a systematic investigation. Paul, you start examining the local plant and animal life. Silvio, you and Elise should dig into the geology. See if there's evidence of damage from Sirius B's nova explosions.
Brandon said, that's my area, too.
Then you work with them.
And Zadar can compute the range of the planet's axis shifts, Elise suggested.
Jordan said, good. Let's put together an agenda for study. I'll question Audrey about his people's history.
We should have brought a cultural anthropologist with us, Brandon said.
Who knew we'd need one, said Thornberry with a crafty grin.
Soon they were all firing questions back and forth, creating agendas, working out a map to be explored. Jordan watched them at it while he quietly spooned up his soup. Hardly tasting the brew, he smiled inwardly. Now they're working instead of fretting, he told himself. They've replaced their suspicions with curiosity.
Good.
And he thought that he would like to ask Aditi several thousand questions about her people, her society, her customs, herself. The following morning, Jordan dressed in his own clothes, which had been brought down from the orbiting ship along with everyone else's. He could hear others coughing or splashing in the common laboratories. These partitions leave a lot to be desired as far as privacy is concerned, he thought. He started for the dining area, but stopped at the open doorway to Brandon's cubicle. His brother was sitting at his desk, his phone open on the desktop, long lists of words scrolling down the big flat screen affixed to the desk.
Hard at work this early, Jordan called from the corridor.
I'm impressed.
Brandon looked up, the expression on his face dead serious.
Come and look at this, Jordy.
Jordan stepped through the doorway and went to his brother's side. The screen showed lists of what seemed to be proper names, with definitions beside them.
Elise thought Audrey's name sounded vaguely familiar to her. She thought she'd heard it somewhere before. So this morning I started poking through our files on names from various cultures.
She thought she'd heard Audrey's name before? Back on Earth? Jordan asked.
Take a look.
Turning to the computer, he commanded, show name Audrey. The words on the screen dissolved, replaced by Audrey, and a definition. Minor god in Hindu mythology who protected mankind and once rescued the sun from evil spirits who were trying to extinguish it. Modern Hindu name meaning rock. Jordan blinked at the screen.
It must be a coincidence of some sort, he murmured, trying to convince himself.
A wild coincidence.
Is it? Brandon asked, his voice flat and hard.
Another coincidence?
Aren't these coincidences?